You and you're live, Pastor.
All right.
All right, stand if you can. Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody, we're going to pray over the word and get started.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time, and let's get started.
Amen. Amen. Our Father, name us on Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we thank you just for a powerful prayer service, dear Jesus, that we continue to pray for those, dear Lord, that are hurting, dear Lord, spiritually lost, dear Jesus. Those that are searching for you in the name of Jesus,
yes.
Lord. Those that are suffering from pain, dear Lord, for in their body, dear Jesus, that are fighting diseases, dear Lord, that are fighting hurts, dear Lord, that are fighting pains, dear Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you, dear Jesus, that you are there to comfort us, dear Lord, in our time of pain, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, that there's so many that are sick and need a touch from you, dear Jesus. We call upon you this morning, dear Lord, that you continue to touch the body of the saints, dear Lord. Touch those that are searching, dear Jesus. Be a comforter for those that are asking, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, that we can be together on this day, dear Jesus, to hear a word from you, dear Lord. That your anointing continues to fall on this place, dear Jesus. I thank you for all that you are, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, for your encouraging spirit, dear Lord, that speaks life into every situation, dear Jesus.
Yeah. Okay.
I thank you that you are true, dear Lord. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We pray over the word this morning, dear Lord. We pray over Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus. We continue to pray over the pastors, dear Lord. We pray over Janelle this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We pray over the families this morning, dear Lord, for their loss in the name of Jesus. We pray over Paris, dear Lord, is suffering with challenges with asthma, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, that you are so forgiving, dear Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We pray for Kenneth this morning, dear Jesus, that's having pain, dear Lord, in his body, dear Lord.
Yes.
We pray for those in our prayer list that are asking for direction in the name of Jesus. That are so lost, that are listening to every word because they don't know what the truth is, dear Jesus, but you are our truth.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we can pray for healing for those across the nation, dear Jesus. And it can happen, dear Lord. We pray, dear Jesus, and we thank you, dear Lord. And we ask that you continue to touch and guide us, dear Jesus. And as we listen and sup with you, dear Lord, that we are also attentive this morning, dear Jesus, that we can get right with you, dear Lord, while there is yet still time, while we have breath in our lungs, dear Jesus.
Yes.
We pray. We thank you, dear Lord. I pray that spiritual ears came to hear today, dear Jesus, that Sandy has taken the proper time to hear from you, dear Lord, that you spoke that truth to his spirit, dear Jesus, and without holding back, with the boldness of Christ, that he speaks exactly what you spoke to him, dear Jesus. Let it be edifying to our soul, dear Lord. Let it encourage us this morning, dear Jesus. So we pray for Leslie and her body, dear Lord. We don't want to leave anyone unturned, dear Jesus. Let the saints continue to pray. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Hey, Drea.
Hallelujah.
Okay, okay. All right. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Cora, how you doing?
Good.
It's good to see you. How's my goddaughter?
She's doing great.
She's doing good?
Ah! A week from today.
That's scary. Is she driving your car yet?
She's trying.
Hallelujah. Okay. Let's get started here. I'm a little kind of jacked up because when I see Sister Sharon here, I expect to see next to her mother Brenda, who on most Wednesday nights, if nobody's at Bible study, Mother Brenda and Sharon are sitting next to each other with pom-poms and like, go, Pastor Sandy, you can do it. So, and I appreciate both of them so much. And So to lose Mother Brenda, I didn't even know Mother Brenda was 70. I was like, she was? You know, when people have a lot of energy and they're always doing, you don't realize it. But what a blessing she is, I mean. And she's, you know, I can't imagine Mother Brenda standing there in front of Jesus. I can't imagine that, you know, like, Jesus, how you doing? It's just awesome. So anyway, it's a wonderful thing when you know where your loved ones are.
Yes.
Someone said, are both your parents alive? I said, yeah, both my parents are alive. One's in heaven and one lives in Pasadena. But the one that's really alive is in heaven, because the one in Pasadena don't know Christ yet. So we celebrate eternal life because Christ provided that. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right. I need us to, other than saying I love you guys and good to see all of you here, Supreme Court judge made an announcement that no governor is allowed to dictate to churches.
What?
Rather that they can have service or not.
Amen.
So, New York governor tried to.
Cuomo.
Yeah, he tried to tell them how many people they could have, if they could sing or not, and all that. He was getting worse than California, and so they filed a lawsuit against him, and so the Supreme Court said no governor is allowed to do that. What he was trying to do.
Praise God.
So praise God for
Amen.
That. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what today's message is. And today's message is, the title is, At the Edge of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And so I want to kind of give you an understanding of where we are. And he's like, well, Pastor, the rapture haven't happened yet. To understand the rapture, you have to go back and understand the position where we're at right now,
yes.
Okay? There's never been a group of people in a better position to escape from here than the body of Christ right
yes.
now,
yes.
okay?
Yes.
With 1948 happened, 1967 happened, the 6,000 years already upon us, the 120th Jubilee, and now we're at the 120th year. Yes. And so there is absolutely nothing but joy to be living in the time that we're living in.
Yes.
I am not a big person on church. I am a big person on personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I am a big person on how, you know, I want to know, what book are you reading? You know what I mean? What are you studying now? Where are you at in your walk now?
Right.
You understand? I don't want to know, oh, where were you? Where have you been? Like, who cares? Have you been spending time
that's
with
right.
Jesus?
That's right.
Have you been in your closet?
Man.
Because, see, that's the most important thing, right?
Yes.
If you walk out of here and you and I only see you once, if I inspire you to dive into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ every day, I've done my job.
Yes.
Okay? So, and that's what I want you guys to know. But I want you also to know where we're at in history. And God gave me this message at the edge of the Red Sea. And so he wanted me to really, for us to really understand the position of the people standing at the Red Sea and Moses standing there with them.
Yes.
Okay. Swimming was not an option. I want you to know that, okay? So, you know, when you have options,
yeah.
you can think about how I can get out of this, right?
Right.
Well, God says, you guys don't have any options because you can't swim and the enemy is coming behind you desperately wanting to destroy each and every one of you.
Yeah.
So he says the church right now is at the Red Sea, and we have to determine what we're going to do at this moment. Does anybody remember Moses' reaction when he was at the Red Sea? Was he scared, or did he not know what to do, or anything? Huh? I think God told him, well, for a moment, he said, you know, he kind of was out, and then God told him, take what you have in your hand and touch the sea, right?
Yeah.
So I can imagine all those people saying, we can't swim, and the army is coming behind us. We don't have any swords. We can't defend ourselves, and we can't swim. And what about the kids, right? And so God says, that's where the church is right now. Because you're in the middle of a spiritual battle that's going on, which God says for the next 7 years or so, the enemy is going to win. So if you have any inclinations in your mind that something really good is going to happen and the economy is going to get reset and they're going to declare Trump the president, even though, you know, it didn't go his way, and your all your hopes, whatever your hopes are on now, you're not there. You understand?
Yeah.
Right now, you either going to trust in Jesus.
Yes.
You're going to trust in the blessed hope.
Yes.
Because that you have no other options.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
God, you either split the sea and we go across, mm-hmm, or we're done.
Yep.
And I'm going to show you why. Because I was looking at the new vaccine that, you know, the warp speed vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That warp speed vaccine, mm-hmm, is the detriment of all mankind.
Yeah.
Now, if I ever thought Trump was a good guy before, either he's not, or he's really dumb, because that vaccine has nothing that will help anybody make it to heaven.
Nothing.
And I can't see any church member taking it and saying, I'll be okay. Especially after I explain to you what's in it, okay? Because the war has been on, and you guys have to understand the war, okay? I want us to, first of all, go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Because if you don't know this, you're going to kind of be... You won't understand, okay? It's like my cousin came and visited me from, we played football at the University of Colorado. And we came to LA to visit. And he was not understanding where we were. We drove into a neighborhood that we shouldn't be in, and I'm told, dude, turn around and get out of here. We don't need to be here. First of all, the car's red.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, in that neighborhood, it was absolutely the wrong color. I said, dude, do a U-turn right now and get out of here before we end up dead. He didn't understand the position we were in. So he was all slow about it. I didn't say take your time. I said get out of here, because I understood where I was, and he didn't. Okay, he didn't. So I want you guys to understand where you're at, so you understand the importance of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay?
Pastor Sandy,
yes.
We know that Nicole sent the message out to 921 members today.
Oh,
so they check their email, they'll get a copy of that.
Okay, of this first one. Now I have the notes here. I'll send that later.
Because
I didn't get that till this morning.
But you have to tell them.
I'll do that.
I think they heard me.
Okay. If you didn't hear Pastor Ben, there it is. That's what you should get. We're going to go through this. But you guys have got to understand, this is some... As God's talking to me, he's like, you guys have no idea. You're standing at the edge of the Red Sea, and all you got is me.
Right.
So choose me and live. So in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What do the wiles mean? Trickery. You understand?
Yeah.
So it says, that you may be able to stand against the trickery of the devil, because he's a deceiver, right?
Yes.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Yeah.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
It is not a waste of time to pray.
Amen.
It lets the whole spiritual universe know who you belong to, and they better not be messing with you.
Yes.
It puts them on notice. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end, with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints, meaning prayer,
yes,
and for me, and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Praise God.
Yes.
Now, I've read that verse 100 times in my Christian life. And then the Lord this morning says, now let me explain the verse to you. And he says, you go back to the scripture where it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You're not wrestling against human beings. God wants you to know that you're wrestling against principalities. The word principalities means the origin, the beginning of evil, okay? You're wrestling against the origin of evil that's in the world, okay? So in this world, evil has a birth and an origin, okay? It's in the world, and God says, you're wrestling against that, okay? Then it says, against powers and principalities, the origin of evil, and against powers, okay? Now, when it says powers, what powers are you talking about? We're not wrestling against demonic powers. The word powers is a Greek word that means we are wrestling against the power of choice and the liberty to do as one please. That's what you're wrestling against.
Wow.
You're wrestling against the power of choice and the freedom, you think, the liberty to do what you want.
Right.
That's what you're wrestling against, okay? Because you are not free, because you live in someone else's house. And all you have to do is be a parent and to understand that. Your kids can do what they want in your house.
Amen.
And God has some spiritual rules in his house.
Right.
And there are things that you can't do. Even though you have the origin of the demonic spirits that came into the world telling you, well, if you were born gay, you should just be who you are. They don't even tell you that in the spiritual realm, that is a crime punishable by death in hell.
Yeah.
They don't tell you that you're living in someone else's house and it's against the rules in his house for you to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
I love my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law said, you know what? If I am going to be a lesbian, which she is not anymore, God delivered her from it, but she said, I will never be with a woman again because I'm with Jesus.
Yeah.
So she said, I'll be single and with Jesus, but I will never be gay again, right? So she took a stand that she doesn't control the rules in her house.
Right.
You understand? We think we can do anything, but God says you're fighting against the thought that you have the liberty to do what you want. Fight against it because you don't. God is the one who has made the rules. He knows what will get you to heaven. He knows what will bring you eternal life. He knows what will bring you blessings. He knows because he set the rules in the house. So the scripture says you're not fighting against the powers of demons. You're fighting against the thought that you have power of choice and a liberty to do what you want. So that's when God wants to explain stuff to you. Then he says, okay, and it says, so you wrestle not against principalities, the origin of evil, and you wrestle not against power, the power of the liberty to do as you want, but you wrestle against the liberty to do as you want, against the rulers of darkness of this age, which is, of course, Satan and his demons. It says the Lord of this world, the prince of the age, that's who we're wrestling against. Against spiritual hosts means spirits or being higher than man, but inferior to God. So the spiritual hosts that you are wrestling against are stronger than man or high or made higher than man, but they are inferior to God.
Yeah.
So you have to remember the name of Jesus Christ has power over the spirit realm.
Amen.
I can't emphasize prayer enough because it really controls. No military army takes orders from a silent sergeant.
Amen.
Do you guys get that?
Yeah.
You in the military, nobody's taking orders from a silent general. Somebody's barking out orders.
Right.
Why? Because they have the authority. So why would you be someone be sick in your midst and you be quiet?
Amen.
Why would somebody be having problems in your midst and you be quiet as if you don't have the name of Jesus and the authority to do something about the situation with prayer? You understand?
Amen.
So you have to understand what's going on, how to fight, who you are, the name that has been given to you.
Yeah.
Jesus says, all power has been given to me. And then he told the apostles, and now I'm giving it to you.
Yep.
So I'm not no Benny Hinn type of fake healer, but I'll tell you what, if somebody's sick, I want to know where they are so I can put my hands on them.
Yeah.
Because I believe if I lay my hands on the sick, they will recover.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand the war, okay? I'm going to finish here. And it says, evil, we fight with, against wickedness, the evil purpose and their evil purpose and desire, in heavenly realms, which means not in heaven, meaning the Obama. And that doesn't mean Obama's name. That means heavenly realms because, Barak means lightning that fell from where? From heavenly realms. He took the name of Lucifer, lightning falling from heaven. Okay, so understand this. You're fighting against these beings. They are in the lower heaven where the stars and the constellations are. That's why when Michael comes to fight, he's going to fight against Satan and his angels. Where? In the second heaven where the stars, where the constellations are. That won't be in God's home. That's a fight in the second heaven. Okay, so we're fighting against those principalities. All right. They're going to get kicked out of there. Okay, so understanding that you are fighting against a spiritual principality and things that are in this world that you have power over in the name of Jesus, but the biggest power you want to have rulership over is what?
Me.
My thinking, I have the liberty to do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
No, you do not. You're in God's house. Fight against that.
That's right.
Okay? So, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. It says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also after, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men. Who are the sons of God? The angels, the B'nai Ha Elohim, created directly from God. They came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And that has nothing good in what I just read, but in English that sounds like something good.
Yeah.
So these fallen angels are taking wives of humans, and they're having children, and the children are giants. And the children, and they're multiplying in the earth. I'm going to read the book of Enoch. I'm going to try to, but I want to explain this to you because it's faster to be able to explain it to you. Yeah. 200 angels decided, we're not going to obey God anymore. They decided, we are going to do what we please. And the daughters of men are beautiful. And angels have the ability to go into a human body and come out of a human body. Did you guys know that? Be careful when you're entertaining angels. Why? Because some of us have entertained angels unaware. Angels have the ability to appear in a human body and then go back into their spiritual form. Okay? So if you ever met one and he did something great for you, awesome. You might have met one that wasn't a good one. You understand? But you have to understand they have the ability to go into a human body. When these angels went into human body, they said, hey, while I'm in human form, I should have children with some of these beautiful women. And it says they took wives of whom they chose, and they began to have children. And these giants, or these half-breeds of angels and humans, began to multiply within the earth. The scripture said all over the earth, this defilement existed. So as you're reading through the book, through the Old Testament, you're going to start reading things about there was a giant in the land. We looked like grasshoppers in their sight. David and Goliath. It sounds like some little kid's storybook after a while, right? But God is trying to explain to you what was really going on. This had really happened, and there were really giants. And now every time they find something that bones of an enormous size, I forget what institution goes in and swoops it up and they take it off and they keep it for themselves. But it is a fact that this happened.
Smithsonian.
Yes, the Smithsonian. So after this happened, then God, through the people, when they came out of Egypt, told Abraham, I'm giving you rulership over this area, that area, and that area. So you know what the Nephilim did? The giants did? They went to all the areas. And I think Satan instructed them.
Yeah.
Go to all the areas where God said he's going to give to his people and multiply and grow there. Mm-hmm. And so these giants were going to places where God had promised Abraham. And multitudes of them were being born mm-hmm. with this half-breed gene in them. So when God would say, now, I've told you that you're going to receive this land. I want you to go in there and destroy them because I've already promised you the land, right?
Yeah.
So God had already promised them the land. When they went in, they said it was 12 went in. Only two came back and said, we can do it.
Yep.
The other 10 said, we look like grasshoppers in there, so we ain't going in there. And I know a lot of us think we would be faithful and say, yes, I would. I would have been with the two. No, you wouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah.
I played football, and I'm telling you, I'd be like, ooh. Or even the Goliath thing. Look at the faith of David.
Okay.
Like just walking out there, like you giant, who defying a God, the God of my fathers. He's just telling this giant what he's going to do to him. Oh. To the point where the giant is laughing. This is not a children's storybook. God is giving you the history of the world so you understand the origin of evil.
Yes.
It came from somewhere, okay? So God would send the children of Israel in. They would destroy the giants, kill them off. But what would God tell them to do? He said, when you go in there, kill the men, kill the women, kill the children, kill the animals.
Yep.
Don't bring back any sheep. Kill everything. And you go, oh my God, God is so heartless. He was trying to get a Nephilim gene pool out of the earth.
Yeah.
He was trying to get rid of this demonic spirit out of the earth. They survived after the flood.
Yeah.
And they were multiplying. And God was like sending the Jews to all of the place and destroying them. The men, the women, and their children.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, they were having children?
Yeah.
You think they loved their children? Yes. And God said, no, kill the children too. Kill the animals too. They've defiled all of them. How have they defiled the animals? They're mixing DNA with animals. The biggest crime in the book of Esdras was the mixture of DNA.
Like they do it now.
Okay? It was the mixture of DNA, taking another gene and mixing it with another gene. In the book of Ezra, it says these fallen angels had made a practice of this.
Yeah.
And it said it made God very angry because they were destroying his creation. So territory after territory, Nephilim were dying, family. Their whole families, their children, their wives, their cattle, their sheep, everything was dying. And then now today, I mean, you might see Shaq, but Shaq is not 9 foot tall. Now today, you don't see the Nephilim like you do. So how is it that Jesus would say, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man? Because what was going on in the days of Noah was that the human gene pool worldwide was corrupted. How was it corrupted? It had a DNA in it everywhere. Me and Dre in Cancun, that we're on a tour, and they're telling us how the people there were growing to be 6 foot five and 6 foot six. Now, if you ever been to Cancun, the tallest man is about that high, right? They're very small people, and they're not midgets. They're just little, right? And I'm like, wow. And so they're telling us about the whole giant story that was in Cancun. I said, wait a minute. I'm in Cancun, and they're telling me a giant story? So that let me know what? All around the world, there was a Nephilim problem, okay? So when God brought the flood, was it just because man was sinning? It was also to destroy the Nephilim completely out of the world. But they survived it. And so now you have all of these crazy things that go on. You have absolutely crazy things that go on. You have people saying, oh, I saw a UFO. I got abducted by a UFO. They were experimenting on my body. Now you guys go, oh no, now we're getting into another children's story. No, I'm telling you what's going on in the world. Do you understand? So now you're abducted, and then all you got these experiments going, and then now you have this whole problem right now. And I talked to Joyce the other day, and Joyce said she was the one that told me, my dad told me that they had aliens or these Nephilim beings at the
Area 51.
I forget where she was, but she said he would always come home and say, there's aliens there that are helping us with technology. And Joyce would be like, she thought her dad was kind of like, he's telling me these stories just to scare me. Until one day, it was like, I guess a holiday or something, and he took her to work with it, and he let her see from the glass these alien beings. Said it shook her up for the rest of her life. She goes, oh my goodness, they're real? He wasn't telling me stories? Now, I posted a video of a military guy saying what? He says that we were dealing with these alien creatures during the 50s and 60s. And he said, some of them look so human, you could sit down with dinner with them and not even know that who they were. And he said, one of the generals joked and said, one of them could be president and we wouldn't even know. Mm. I could send you the video. I have the video. And so, obviously, something is going on there. Now, I've had a few people tell me they saw aliens, okay? And, you know, I kind of take it to heart like, but my brother said he was driving his truck, and he said, Sandy, I'm telling you, I just stopped my truck because I couldn't figure out what it was, but it was just hovering there in front of me like that. And he said it was just looking at me, and I was looking at it, and it was like you could just tell they were like trying to figure out if they was going to kill me or not. And he said, I just started saying, oh, Jesus, Jesus. And he said it took off. And I went, wow,
he knows about Jesus?
My brother's crazy. Because naturally that's what you think. Okay, he's losing it. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? But see, what's going on in the world is something that they're never going to tell you. Because they're operating undercover, okay? You have to understand the battle you're in, okay? Because if you don't know that 100,000 children missing in the United States every year and nobody cares about where they went is a problem. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ben, Pastor Ben, for bringing this this here. Okay. This right here is from a magazine called The Economist. One of our members, she hit me to this. She said, hey, the economists are predicting our future on their magazine covers. And on this cover is so much. See right there, it has Pinocchio. It has a little boy with a long nose. It's saying we're going to lie to him. This is 2019 copy. It's right there. There's a little boy with a Pinocchio nose. And it basically, we know the nose is growing. That means lying is growing up. So they basically, okay, we're going to lie to them. There's so much in here about the coming of what they're going to do in 2020 that it's absolutely crazy. But the incredible thing is this man right here with these four arms, he has in this arm marijuana. So they're going to make marijuana legal. Why? Because, see, the man is there, but he has blinders on. He has things over his eyes. He can't see. You know why? Because I'm keeping him occupied with marijuana. Then in this hand, he has a baseball and sports. I'm going to keep him occupied with staying high in sports. And then over in this two hands, they have a cell phone in his hand, right? Can you keep people occupied if you give them a cell phone? Okay, and then at the bottom they have a scale with half the people on this side and half the people on that side, which means they're going to make it where status is always going to be important to you. Okay, so but on the man's eyes is blinders, so they're keeping him blind, but they're giving him the things he needs to occupy himself without asking questions, okay? Because all around him is this guy who's one of the top Freemasons ever. You got Putin, you got Trump, you got a guy dying of starvation. You got all of this stuff on here. This young girl, she was, well, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, they're prophesying on their magazines what's going to go on. Here you have a family, and they're sitting with their mask on. You see that? They're sitting with their mask on at, I guess, at a doctor's appointment, or maybe at home in their living room. But behind them is the picture of the coronavirus and bombs going off, and everything's there, right? So they're kind of like telling you, this is what's going to happen in the world. It's like Bart Simpson coming on the show and saying, hey, we can go to New York for only $9. Then he shows them the paper, and the 9 is in front of the two buildings, so it's 9/11. But that happened way before 9/11. Mm-hmm. So that means they were planning it before 9/11. Mm-hmm. But see, we don't. If I keep you occupied, you know stuff, but you won't ask any questions, mm-hmm. because I'm trying to keep you blind to what's really going on, that a real spiritual battle. There are some people that are bold enough out there to tell you that a rapture is coming, and your best chance of escaping is your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There are some people that are bold enough telling you that. Then there are some people that are not bold that are still trying to build a church because they have no clue what they're doing. They're just trying to be a pastor of a church that they were hired at and not get fired, right?
Amen.
So you have to understand exactly what's going on. I got this. So now I want to read to you. This guy sent me a book. And I'm telling you, the book is absolutely crazy. I'm not even going to tell you the title of the book because nobody here should be reading it. Because, and God only wanted me to read certain portions of it so that I understand what has been going on. He wrote a book about his deep knowledge of pedophilia, satanic child abuse that goes on all around the world. And he knew of every city. He knows of every city. He knows so much. He's written 3 volumes, and each volume has about 500 pages. But he's writing about why they hate Trump, why they wanted him out of there, what's really going on, what the Clintons were doing, what Obama is doing, who Obama really is. He had all of this information. I was like, Lord, I can't read this. I won't be able to sleep. But we don't understand that this battle, who is the battle against? Who did God go in and destroy their cities and their wives and their children? Who did the Nephilim write? We remember. We what is it? We remember.
We come back.
We rebuild. We come back stronger. He wrote that on the One World.
Didn't Obama do that?
Yes. Obama did that. He wrote that on the One World Tower. We remember and we come back stronger. And everybody goes, oh, see, he's so American. No, he's not. The Nephilim can't be American. They don't even like humans. So you have this whole war going on, and it's a spiritual war. And your chance of survival in this war is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because he's offering all humans eternal life in his Father's kingdom. But you have to understand what you're fighting against. Okay? Because if the book of Ephesians tells you that fighting against the powers means that you're fighting against your mental state that you have the liberty to do what you want. That means your enemy wants you to believe you can do whatever you want. And you have freedoms. And don't let anybody take away your individuality. You can do what you want. That is a satanic message. No, you don't. You don't have. So I told, I wish somebody would tell Israel, you can do what you want in your house. I was like, they lying to you. You'll get hurt. Right? You can't do what you want. But your enemy is, this is the enemy that's telling you this. You can do what you want. Now, listen to this, what he wrote in his book. This is like three books, over 500 pages each, right? So I just pulled a snippet, and it says, many of the planetary controllers are blood-feasting pedophile parasite monsters, literally, and are predatorily feeding up or predatorily feeding off millions of children gone missing each year around the world. Global child pedophilia trafficking network to generate huge profits, run by the world's most powerful individuals. 2014 International Labor Organization reported an estimate that two-thirds of the annual profits from forced labor comes from pedophilia or sexual slavery, in the amount of about $99 billion a year. This is what Trump is trying to shut down. He was trying to shut this down. Okay, now let's continue. And it says, of that $99 billion, most is produced off the blood, sweat, and tears of the flesh of the helpless, of many helpless underage child sex slaves caught up in global trafficking rings operated by the same diabolical global elite. At the top of the planet's rulers are 13 family bloodlines that include the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, who are the owners of that magazine, as well as European royalty controlling thousands of compromise, bribes, blackmails, puppets, politicians, bankers, judges, CEOs, military generals, entertainers, top-level spies, and police chiefs around the world, right? And it says, now listen to this. Pentagon One confirmed, children continue to be rescued in locations that include New York, California, Florida, and Washington, and a number have seen a dramatic increase. Pentagon One says that the number have increased from 3,000. The number of children they were taking care of at first in 2017 was about 3,000. It has blown to 35,000 children. In three or four years, okay? Now, advised that there is more coming. And he said this was published October 26, 2020. The U.S. Marshals rescued 45 missing children as part of Operation Autumn Hope. Authorities arrested 179 individuals for various crimes during the operation. Now, listen to this. RNA, this is the new, what they say, the fast track virus, vaccine, is called the RNA sequence COVID-19 AstraZeneca vaccine with a Chad OX1 human MRC5 DNA recombinant. Is coming in 2020 of December. Is that tomorrow?
Next week, Wednesday.
Now, as I read those codes out to you, you have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. But what they're saying in this AstraZeneca vaccine, this COVID-19 vaccine, is human MRC5 DNA recombination. which means it has a gene in it that has a foreign DNA inside of the vaccine that if I should put it into your veins, it's going to split your DNA. I'm going to show you that picture again. On this guy's arm, you'd have to see a bigger picture of it. On his arm, right here, is a picture of the DNA, you know, the strands. And it has a split, right? It's broken in one part. So what they're saying is, we're going to do this. We're going to put something in you that's going to break your DNA strand, and then we put a recombinant DNA technology within the vaccine that's going to cause you to be something that you're not. And so now, if I want to destroy every human on the planet, war is not the way.
Yep.
You have a war. They had two world wars. You know what happened to the Earth? Bigger population.
Yeah.
4 billion more people, right? That was so you can't get rid of humans like that. You can try diseases, but the human body has an incredible thing going on with it that it will develop an immune system to new diseases. God made us incredible. So they find out they can't do that. So, but what can you do that can affect the whole world? Ah, their ancestors back in the days before the flood had affected the whole world. Not just two countries fighting, not just five countries fighting, but they had affected the whole world. How did they do that? By ruining the DNA of the human gene pool, they were able to do something that affected the whole world to the point where God said, we got to start over.
Yeah.
And so now if they're saying you are going to have to take every American citizen, I didn't read the rest of the book because I was done with it. Every American citizen is being prepared to be administered the vaccine through the military that is going to contact everybody. The vaccine has a code in it so that wherever you go, you'll know that you've been vaccinated and that you have this foreign DNA now in you, and you can go back to being unnormal because you're not going back to normal. So this is where the world is, okay? This is where the world is. And the church is still in the world. I had a dream. There was a tiger running around a park, and all the people were screaming like crazy. They were running. It was like, how did this tiger get loose in the park? And he's running around, and all these kids, and they're grabbing their kids, and they're running to their cars. But the tiger's not biting anybody. He's just running back and forth. And the Lord said, not yet. My church is still there. Not yet. I told you about the dream when I woke up. I said, the Lord said, not yet. My church is still there. So the tiger wasn't biting anybody, but the Lord wanted me to know he's there. He's in the world. Many people are running back and forth because of the fear of what's going to happen. God says, nothing's happening until the church leaves. So if you're standing at the Red Sea and you see that you have no other options, you better hold on to Jesus Christ very tight. Because once the church is gone, the Lord's on me, that tiger will be able to attack who he wants. But as the church is here, he's just running back and forth, scaring people. Everybody's scared. What they're going to do to us? What they're going to do to us? Who are they going to take our kids? What is this? But understand something. You have the most important thing in the world, and that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're standing at the Red Sea. You have no other options. You can't swim and you can't fight. What are you going to do? God says people had better start having faith in the blessed hope, because it is the only hope that they have to escape what's coming.
Yes.
And we have this wonderful hope. And the Lord says, look, you are past. You're not a generation of people sitting around waiting for Israel to be brought back into the land. That's before 1948. You're not those people. You're not waiting for the prophecy of Jerusalem to be back in the hands of the Jews. That's 1967. That already happened. You're not waiting for the 6,000th year to get here. That happened in 2017. So now you're on early morning on the third day. And so all the prophecies that had to happen for this time to be here is here. Now you're in the 120th year. So God is like, this is the perfect time for the church to put all their hope and all their faith in me.
Yeah.
It's going to be great to spend eternity with all of you as friends. And like the scripture said that me and Pastor Ben read the other day, we are going to high five and celebrate each other in the kingdom of God. Because we did not adhere to his foolishness. And the scripture says what? Have your feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel. You need to know the Bible for yourself. I almost lost a friend last week. I talked off the edge. You know what edge she was on? She was listening to a guy that told her that Jesus is the manifest Satan in the world, and he's taking the place of God, and he's tricked people into worshiping him. There's a website. The guy has a website, and she was watching it every day. And I talked to her daughter, and her daughter said, and I told you guys a couple weeks ago, her daughter told me, I got more respect for you than I do for Jesus, because at least you're real. I went, who have you been talking to? Because you have to know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Yes.
You have to know that there's only one way to salvation.
Right.
You have to know, because they got this lady, Watch Woman 65. Somebody sent me a thing this morning. I'm like, what is wrong? I told you people to stop watching her. She's connected. This guy said she's connected. This other lady, Rapture Puzzle, is connected to a satanic group. Their job is to do what Juke said, confuse people about the coming of Christ. And her thing is what? Her thing, she started off, they sent it to me. I said, I can't believe somebody would send me this. And she said, Jesus died for all your sins, past, present, and future. So don't worry about trying to live for Jesus or to obey his commandments and his laws, because when you accepted Christ, you were granted righteousness, and therefore it can't be taken from you because you're already saved. You can't be unborn. I said, man, this demon is loose, Lord. And I wonder sometimes why God, it's good I'm not God, because I just be like, zoop, and be zapping people. Like, it's like, why? But it's in the earth, right? Because God already gave you instructions how not to be deceived. What's the instruction? Study to show thyself approved. Have your feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel. Because no one should be able to come to you and tell you that Jesus is not God.
Amen.
No one should be able to come to you and tell you that there's other ways into the kingdom of God and you don't need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one should be able to come to you and tell you that you have the freedom to do and be what you want in this world that don't belong to you.
Amen.
No one should be able to. You should say, you know what? Let me check with God on that. Because who's that the athlete that has he said his son said he feels like a girl, so we're just letting him be what he wants to be. Right? As a parent, you have the responsibility to teach that child about God, right, and why you can't be a girl.
Right.
There's a whole lot of problems with you being a girl. But if you go with today's teaching, because it comes from a source,
mm-hmm,
And that source is very evil. And that source says what? If your child feels gay, let her be gay and just love her. And don't preach against it, because you could, because me and my daughter, we do not talk anymore. She does not speak to me. And I would speak to her, but she don't speak to me. You know why? She says I'm marrying this girl. And I heard you preaching against homosexuality. And I can't believe you preached against homosexuality. And therefore, I'm not speaking to you anymore. I said, good, because I'm not speaking to you anymore either until you get away from that lifestyle. I said, you got to get out of that. It's going to drive you into hell. I'm not supposed to tell my child that. I'm supposed to love them and tell them, it's okay. You just be you. I love you for who you are. Don't preach the gospel. No, you can't do that. I'm sorry, but Jesus Christ did not come to bring peace.
Yes.
He told you that. He came to bring a division.
Yes.
In my house is going to be problems as soon as I get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as you get saved, you were fine. When you was cursing and they was cursing, you were fine. When you was getting high and they were getting high, you were fine. It wasn't until you said Jesus is Lord. Till they want to know why you got to stay here. Why don't you find your own place? We don't need you around us.
Yep.
Because the division comes when Jesus is like a sword. He cuts it.
Yeah.
Either you're with him or you're not.
Amen. What about the board?
I don't have nothing for the board. This is a continuous study because we have to go through this. Oh, from the book, right? Amazing. I might tell you guys a book, but not because I would. If I told you the book, you would have to be wise enough to not read it all.
Yeah, don't do
you
that.
Sit there and you'd be all jacked up.
Yeah, don't do that.
Anyway, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, it says, as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seeds of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. Now, who's going to mingle with the seeds of men? That's the human offspring, right? Who are they that's going to mix themselves with the seeds of men?
Yeah.
Now, that story, that chapter that's in Daniel chapter 2 is not talking about Genesis times, that's talking about in the end times.
Right.
It says in the end times, they're going to mix themselves with the seeds of men. They're going to mingle themselves with the seeds of men. So the guy writes in his book, how foolish Americans are. Everybody has forgotten about Larry Sinclair. Larry Sinclair. So I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about Larry Sinclair. So I put the thing Larry Sinclair tells all about Barack Obama. So he's a limo driver that.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get killed. He's a limo driver that picked up Obama. He was gay, and him and Obama had a good time together. Twice. Then he said Obama showed up at his hotel the next day and they had a good time again. And he said, and we smoked crack together. And he said, I was wondering why he was saying he never did drugs. So I called his office and guess who answered the phone? Donald Young, the choir leader at the church that he was at, that Obama was at. So then the choir leader started telling the guy, Larry Sinclair, me and Barack are lovers. And why are you calling him? So Donald Young, the choir leader, tells him that, and he says, okay, so they're in a relationship, that's why he's being so mean to me. Later, Donald Young, the choir leader, gets assassinated and a bullet in the back of his head. Two other men that he was best friends with, them that they were all doing these sexual things together, both of them also got assassinated, shots in the back of the head. Because why? Because Obama was running for president in 2007 and this couldn't get out. So three homosexuals lost their lives because they were sleeping with Obama before. Are we on YouTube? Before. Well, it's already on YouTube. Because they were with Obama and Obama didn't want the world to know he was gay. So that instead of, you know, just coming out and say, oh, yeah, okay, but I'm not anymore. He could have just, no, nah, let's kill all three of them. And then so all three of them died. He said, many people forget about that. Many people forget, he says in his book, that in the Hillary Clinton emails was a email that said, I hope you're going to be at the party. There'll be children in the pool. And Obama has ordered $65,000 worth of hot dogs.
Boys.
How did 65,000? And then they found it's the code for little boys. So Obama had always purchased little boys for these people to be with. And this was found in, he says, we as a human society has forgotten about this, that this happened. And then now we see Obama and we want to put him on the wall in our house next to Martin Luther King. Because we're not watching. See, when Jesus said watch, he's telling you watch because of the environment that you live in is defiled. Yes. And you need to be in your word and you need to be focused on Christ because this is not about choosing a religion. This is about protecting your life.
Amen.
This is about you coming into relationship with the life giver, clinging to the life giver.
Yes.
Staying close to the life giver because the world is defiled. In his book, he said Biden ran for president twice before. The first time they threatened to expose his pedophilia nature, and then he dropped out of the race. So Biden ran before but had to drop out because of pedophilia connections. But now he runs again. He waits a few years, runs again, and all of a sudden he gets elected. Clinton operation. Clinton's operated a child trafficking ring around the world for years. The Bush family, also skull and bone members, all of them, operated pedophilia rings for years, he says. And he says it's going on in this world today. And he says if Trump didn't fight against it, if he didn't fight against it, they wouldn't fight against him. But the fact that he was fighting against pedophilia, and the fact that he did not want a global government, he wanted a nation government, they didn't like him.
Yeah.
So rather, he's a knucklehead, a jerk, bad hair, whatever he is. He was there because God said, if he's not there in 2020, no businesses would reopen. You'd already be getting a vaccine. You'd be already be put in jail. You'd already see a world war. All of these things would have already happened if God didn't say, I got to put somebody in there to block this.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. I'm no Donald Trump fan. I don't even trust him. I don't know him like that. But I'm saying God is doing something to hold off.
Yeah.
Is that what Thessalonians says? He cannot be revealed until what? Until we're out of here.
That's right. Slow them down.
So, here we are. The vaccine is behind us, okay? Tribulation's in front of us. No life vest.
Can't swim.
Can't swim. And God is like, what are you going to do? What are you going to panic and cry? You can do that. Or, you know what? I've always wanted to shock God with my faith. When something go wrong, go, praise your name anyway, Lord. I've always wanted to do that because I was a mess. You know, I was like this. I was a strong Christian as long as everything's going great. And then when I have problems, I go, God don't love me. I got to do something to help myself get out of this mess. And then I start trying to do stuff, right? Then mess up things worse. And God's like, you're so immature. He got on me about that so many. If I got fired from a job, I'd walk out, man, it's because I'm black. Fire me today. You were late 12 times. That doesn't matter. You're the blah, blah, blah. You're the, I'm out of here. God, like, I'm so disappointed. And you're the Christian. They fired a Christian today. Because everything was beautiful as long as things were going great, right? One time I got fired and I'm saying, this time I'm just going to praise God and have faith. I want God to be proud of me. I got fired, took my last check, bought my wife a nice table for the apartment. Praise God. Listen to some Christian music on, and I told him, well, God bless you guys. I hope you read, because I gave him a copy of Divine Revelation of Hell. Okay. Hope you get time to read that. God bless you. I'm out of here. And I said, PQ called me, and he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I got fired. He says, you sound happy. I said, well, I'm just praising God, because he must have something better for me. I was acting different.
Yeah.
And I said, you want to go to Bible study tonight since I don't have to work? So I went to Bible study, and a guy was there and said, hey, you look like you'd be a great counselor in the juvenile prison system. And I went, okay. He said, could you go here and fill out an application tomorrow and talk to this guy? And they hired me. I was making double what I made there. I was making double. I wanted to send them a copy of the first check. Just like to smush it in their face, right? But God said, no, that's not Christian life. But I reacted different.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
We don't need to act like the world in this situation. Mm-hmm. We don't. Let them panic.
Yeah.
Let them go, what's going on? I'm not getting stressed over anybody. The day before they announced that the vaccines have to be or forced to be taken, I know that day before that, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I trust God.
Amen.
So in this time where you either trust God or drown, you're going to have to realize I need to trust God.
Yes.
I need to get off YouTube and trust God.
Amen.
I need to get off TV and trust God.
Yes.
Because the most important thing now is God's promises, not what Satan is showing me.
Yes.
I'm not going to be one of those people in my dream running around screaming and crying, grabbing my baby, trying to run out of the park because the lion's running back and forth. That hasn't even bitten anybody yet.
Right.
We're standing here, though, and the world's going to know that when God speaks, things come true. And God said, I'm taking my church out of the world. And when he speaks, because see, if we have no proof, then there's no way we can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can. We know where Israel hasn't already been there. We know Jerusalem hasn't always been there. We know all the things and the prophecies that God has spoken that have come true. We know things that God has done in our own lives. So we have every reason to trust God. I'm challenging you guys. There's a prayer in Hebrew that says, "Lasok yourself in the Torah." Lasok means just like what it sounds. It's the Hebrew word for drench yourself in the word of God. Until he comes, let's drench ourselves in Jesus. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.